This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 209, Baking Many, 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 Many Cookies with Lindsay and Gabby.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, where you'll finally get real native English conversation with your hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Gabby Wallace, the language angel from Boston, USA.
In today's episode, you're going to learn the perfect recipe for baking cookies. No, just kidding. We're going to talk about a fast fix for one of the most common and challenging English mistakes. So check it out.
Hey guys, remember, your English is a Porsche, and if you want to keep tuning up your Porsche, if you want to know all of the top 15 fixes today, go straight to allearsenglish.com/top15, and you can get that in a free ebook right away.
Hey Lindsay, what's up?
Not much, I'm hungry.
Oh, I'm always hungry. What are you hungry for?
Bake? Yeah. Well, I'm hungry for baked goods. But Gabby, do you like to bake? Because I just like other people to bake for me. I don't actually like to bake myself.
I think it's going to be a problem because I'm the same way. I like, well, I like to buy baked goods.
Oh, really? Actually, okay. I like homemade baked goods.
I like to bake, but only if I have a nice kitchen. So right now I'm living in Tokyo and I have a really small kitchen. I don't even have an oven, so it's impossible for me to bake. I have to buy baked goods.
All you have is your little rice cooker there, I would imagine, right?
I don't even have a rice cooker right now.
You don't have a rice cooker? You're living in Tokyo. That's so weird. I remember when I was living in Tokyo, I had a rice cooker and I had no idea how to use it. It's the simplest thing in the world, but the directions were in kanji and I was like, my first week there, I was crying. I was like, I don't know how to eat. I don't know how to use this.
Yeah, so when I was in the U.S., though, when I was in Boston, I would bake cookies sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And so how would you what's the first ingredient that you would throw into baking cookies? Like where would I start if I wanted to bake cookies?
Well, you definitely need some flour, like maybe about 3 cups of flour.
Wow, that's so much flour.
3 cups? It depends how many cookies you want to make.
Wow, so many cups and so much flour. I can't believe that's a lot of flour. Okay, so you like flour, I can see.
And I would put about 1 cup of sugar and maybe a teaspoon of salt.
A teaspoon of salt. Mm. Not too much salt. Just be careful. Don't put too much salt in there.
And then maybe 1 cup of chocolate chips.
Oh, I would put 2 cups of chocolate chips.
That's a lot. That's too many.
With the chocolate chips.
That's too many.
I mean, I like chocolate, you know? What can I do? So,
I like to put other things in the cookies too, like maybe a few raisins. You don't like raisins?
I'm sorry. Raisin cookies just don't do it for me. That's a disappointment. You got to go straight to the chocolate, the good stuff. Okay. Raisins? Why are you messing around with raisins?
Well, I think there's a few other ingredients in cookies. I think you have to put eggs and what else?
How many eggs do I need?
Maybe just one. I mean, otherwise, if you put a lot of eggs, it's going to be like pancakes or an omelet.
Yeah, you don't want to put too many eggs.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
So should we talk about ingredients and our fix for today?
Our fix. Today's fix. So this is today is
number
tune
four.
Up your Porsche, number four of our top 15 series. And what are we working on today, Gabby? What are we tuning up?
We are tuning up much versus many.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah. So this is tricky because, oh man, how do you know when to use much or when to use many? I'm sure you know the rule. If you've had an English class, your teacher probably told you about countable and non-countable nouns or count or non-count. Maybe they even talked about mass nouns, that's uncountable. There's a few different ways of talking about these. you know, knowing the term and grammar is not so important. What's important is understanding how to visualize or how to think about the meaning of these words.
Right. And it's also good to be able to move from explaining the same object in a countable way and in a non-count way, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
We use some examples here. Gabby said, oh, you need 3 tablespoons of salt. Oh, yeah. So many tablespoons of salt, or
right.
So much salt.
Yes, exactly. So I think we need to start with how to visualize what a non-count noun is like, because I imagine something that's like a mass, or like, for example, you can't put a fence around it. You can't put a border around it clearly. Okay.
Right.
It's not like an object that you could set on the table and it'll hold its shape. It's something that, for example, if I dumped a bag of sugar on the table, it would just go everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so
that sugar,
one we can't count.
Right. I can't count sugar because it would go everywhere. What are some other things that would just go everywhere?
So for example, sand. I'm thinking about sand, right? Sand on the beach, similar to sugar.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, all around you, on your feet, between your toes. You can't count it. But you could count grains of sand, right?
Well, yeah. Once we start identifying a part or a section or an individual unit, then we can start counting. So a grain of sand, a cup of sand, a bottle of sand, I don't know what else of sand you would have, but with foods, it's really easy to identify different counters because we have tablespoons, we have teaspoons, we have cups, we have
or a bag of chocolate, right?
Yeah.
We said a bag of chocolate versus chocolate in general,
right? Or chocolate chips of chocolate are countable. So we have to think about in our mind, what is a unit that would stand on its own? What's something that wouldn't just go everywhere if you dump it on the table?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Even something that you can't eat, like money. If you dump a bag of money on the table, doesn't that sound nice? It will go everywhere. Okay?
It would go everywhere.
We
could break that down, right? How could we break it down into things that we can count?
Sure. A dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
So
a nickel.
A nickel. Sure. So those are units that we can count. All right. So what's the point of visualizing all of these things that you can count or can't count? Well, that's how you know if you should use many or much. So think of much as those things that you dump on the table and they go everywhere.
Yeah, right? They go between your toes, they spill over the table, and you can't contain them.
Exactly. Much or a lot, right? So I tend to think of much as a word that I use in negative sentences, like, for example, I don't have much money.
Oh, I was going to say that too.
Or I don't want to eat much sugar.
Right. But I do have a lot of free time.
Oh, that's a good one. Time. Nice.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to eat a lot of salt. I'm trying to think of a good example that's non-count. How about I want to drink a lot of milk because it does a body good. That's a slogan that I think the Dairy Association in the U.S. came up with. So
does
we automatically think, milk, it does a body good. I don't know.
Right, but some people are questioning that now. But
I know.
Yes, anyways.
And actually, I don't really drink much milk. But how about I want to drink a lot of almond milk. How about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You could do that, and that would do your body good.
Yeah. So anyway, I tend to think of much as kind of negative. I use it in negative sentences, and a lot with positive. So this is another common mistake, which is kind of a related point. But I hear a lot of people saying, for example, I have much money. For example.
Sounds a little bit strange.
Sounds really strange. You would say, I have a lot of money. I mean, well, I don't know if you would say that, but just for example. Maybe, how about this? I eat much sugar. That's not right.
Could say, I don't eat much sugar.
Yeah, negative, right? So I eat a lot of sugar is more correct.
Yes. That's it.
Cool.
That's it. So also to remember, guys, a lot of these top 15 fixes, we've been talking about how you can move seamlessly between one and the other, right? Mm-hmm. So in that same conversation, we can move with the same topic, the object that we're talking about, from much to many, as we've just done. So keeping your English kind of fluid and moving back and forth and not staying rigid is part of the key here.
Exactly. Yeah. And just to finish up, because we were talking about much a lot, you want to also know when to use many. So many is when you can count something like teaspoons of sugar. Are you going to put many teaspoons of sugar in your cookies, or many
or many bags of chocolate, or bags of flour, or cups of flour, not bags.
Exactly. So I hope this is a little bit more clear. Just remember that if you can dump something on the table and it goes everywhere, you're going to be using much or a lot.
Mm-hmm. And if you can put it into little containers or pieces or cups or teaspoons or bags, you're going to be using many.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I love it. That's clear to me.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
If you want to put your ears into English more often, be sure to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next time.